the authors of this decree, which appears to have been Lenin, tried to make it clear that this was justified. It argues, the decree argues, in a capitalist society, the principle of a free press was in fact not a great thing. It was nothing but a liberal cloak, masking the freedom of the propertied classes who owned the press to, in the words of the decree, to poison the minds and sow confusion in the minds of the masses. And in the current fragile situation, it was said that it was absolutely essential to take out of the hands of the bourgeois enemy, quote, a weapon no less dangerous than bombs and machine guns. On December 5th, 1917, an organization called the Cheka was created. These were stood for two Russian letters that were the beginning of the name of this organization, which in full was the All-Russian Extraordinary Commission for the Struggle Against Counter-Revolution and Sabotage. It was established December 5th. This was essentially a new secret political police. Now, part of its function was to control ordinary hooliganism, which became increasingly common after October, a growing problem with looting, a raiding of liquor stores, rural banditry, and the Cheka was asked to solve this problem. Also, the Cheka was in charge of handling economic crimes, embezzlement, sabotage, some of which were in fact anti-Bolshevik, anti-Soviet acts by the rich. But the Cheka also was asked to function, and indeed vigorously did function, as a new political security police, watching everywhere in the country for anti-regime conspiracies and arresting opponents of the new government. In fact, within days of its establishment, the Peter and Paul Fortress, this notorious Russian Bastille that held so many political opponents of Tsarism over the last century, was beginning to fill once again, this time with prominent liberals, members of the Constitutional Democratic Party, the Cadet Party, many of whom had been arrested earlier but now were put in the Peter and Paul Fortress under Cheka guardian, SRs, including left SRs when they opposed the government, and many other socialists. Ominously, some Bolshevik leaders advised that this wasn't the worst to come, and suggested that Bolsheviks and supporters of the revolution should be prepared for more, as Lev Trotsky, perhaps the most influential leader of the Bolsheviks and the government, besides Lenin, warned in a speech in early December already of 1917. He said, not prison, but the guillotine will be ready for our enemies. At the same time, and perhaps more understandable to some, there were also vigorous efforts to centralize control of the economy, which was still declining, and to increase labor discipline. Right after October, large banks and factories were nationalized, declared under control of the state. In December, the first steps to creating a planned economy were announced. A Supreme Council of the National Economy, it was called, was set up to develop a general plan to regulate the economy. In January of 1918, factory committees and trade unions were subordinated to this Central Council of the Economy to create more disciplined labor. And in April of 1918, strict one-person management was restored, sometimes in the person of the former manager or owner of factories. In other words, workers' control, barely before the ink was dry on the proclamation, was being eroded in the name of creating order in the economy, something many also wanted. For many people, though, the most telling, the most shocking example of this rising Bolshevik authoritarianism, even betrayal of the revolution, some would say, was how they handled the long-awaited constituent assembly. Elections to this first truly democratic body, the first elections with truly universal suffrage in Russia, took place in November. They had been planned even before the Bolsheviks came to power, and the Bolsheviks allowed them to go ahead. Dozens of parties competed in this election, ranging from liberal cadets to Bolsheviks and anarchists. And the campaign, the electoral campaign, was impassioned and bitter. Bolsheviks warned against the dangers of letting the bourgeoisie steal the victories of the revolution. Liberals warned it was a, in their words, serious sin against the country to vote for the Bolsheviks, who were nothing more, they said, than power grabbers and murderers and destroyers of freedom.